All right, welcome back to another episode of the Two-Wheeled Rider Podcast, presented by JT Motorsports. I'm your host, Mario Orsini, joined by
Brian Boyer.
So people can't see this right now, but we're both wearing our 2WR ADV hoodies. You went with the blue. The only reason I'm wearing the orange one is because the blue one I just got out of the dryer earlier, and this one I already had on. So
Yang and yang.
You know, I know people see me wear a lot of orange, but I actually prefer the blue one. I think it looks cooler.
Yeah, I think it just goes with more. I don't know. They're super comfortable, and the logo is just cool.
Yeah, no, it turned out good. You know, I still owe Josh Triggs that, I don't remember what I got him, T-shirt. I don't want to say I got him a hoodie. I don't think I got him a hoodie. I think I got him a T-shirt I got to take over. And some stickers. Speaking of, we got to get your sign up. Not that we're really video recording these things, but studio looks a little bit nicer. Sean over at Decal Works sent us a couple of like big Decal Works stickers, logos, whatever you want to call them, and I put them on some foam boards. So I got one hanging up here right beneath the Two-Wheeled Rider Podcast sign in the studio, so looking a little bit sharper.
Yeah, it looks good.
I hit Sean up earlier this week, too. We're recording this, what is today? I've lost track, on Wednesday. My first video of the ADV series went up on Monday, so I just hitting him up and said, hey, we gave you guys a quick shout out on there for providing the stickers. And he was like, yeah, I already watched the first 5 minutes of it, and then I got a call or whatever. I had to hop off. Good save, Ron Boyer.
Yeah, I'm so glad when I catch that, and obviously I don't want to catch him crashing, but the fact that he rode it like a big berm, and for those that haven't checked out Mario's video, definitely head over to his YouTube and check it out. It was cool.
Yeah, we got a few saves on there. We're gonna talk about that a little bit, but yeah, we want to get back on tonight. I got to touch base with you after this, Brian. I actually got us a couple other guests lined up. We'll hopefully get scheduled in the next week or two and start. I don't want to say get to weekly, but you know, we'll get back to a few a month. But I got some folks that are I think going to be fun to have on. So speaking of folks, I saw I got my latest issue of American Motorcyclist magazine. Is that what we get through AMA?
Yep.
That came in. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I'm just flipping through and saw a familiar face in there. Tagged her Instagram story earlier. Whitney Mesa was in there. I'm going to assume the article was about riding the Pan America in that, 48 states in 10 days? Is that what she did?
Yeah, obviously the article came out a long time ago. We were following on social media, yeah. And love the story, love the, you know, just the idea of it. And I think it's pretty cool, too, for the brand marketing and all of that. So love the business aspect of it and the sponsors that support some of these social media and YouTube people. So it was neat to follow.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, it's probably going to be one of the upcoming guests you're going to hear on the podcast. We had some discussions a few months ago, but I got to circle back with her and get her lined up. Also, familiar female faces. Previous podcast guest wrapped up the GNCC WXC Championship once again. So shout out to Becca Sheets, back-to-back national championships.
Yeah, I'd love to get a quick chat with her. That had to be the most stressful championship because I believe she just held on to in the podium. I can't remember if it was fourth or fifth that she would have lost it because I know Archer ended up winning. But for those that didn't watch or have seen any footage, it was one of the most insane races I've seen. And I know it got worse as the day went on, but those women were riding in gnarly conditions. And when you're up against a championship, you're second guessing, you know, the bike. If a water splashes up in your bike bogs a little bit, you're like, oh, did dirt get in there? Like, it plays a mind game with for you.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, there were other championships on the line going in that day. Regardless of what you think of the ruling and the adjustments in points, Stu Baylor still had a chance to a chance to win the championship. And like you said, he had some bike issues. I think that bike of his sucked in quite a bit of water, and unfortunately for him, you know, he did get across. He you know, it wasn't, that wasn't the end of his race, but unfortunately wasn't able to catch back up. Ben Kelly had some issues too. He did end up securing the championship. I think he was as far back as 32nd, I think, at one point, and ended up finishing, I think, 9th, 11th, somewhere in there. Like, he finished in the points and was able to wrap up the championship. West Virginia boy Thad Duvall ended up winning the overall and first in XC1.
Hey, they're familiar with that dirt, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Dirt,
what?
A lot of strategy, too, because people were shutting their bikes off and walking them across the creek or the now river.
Yeah.
And it was reminiscing for me. You know, I didn't have the best luck in Costa Rica. You know, when you're trying to hold those bikes wide open, they want to suck that, you know, water in there. So sometimes it's smarter to lose a little bit of time and get that bike across without any throttle and then hammer down after.
I think it was Thad post-race said he pushed his bike through on that last one. I think it was him. It was one of the guys that finished up front there. I was watching one dude was washing his filter out in the creek and then, you know, wringing it out, trying to get the mud and stuff out of it, get his bike restarted. I can be honest with you, I would have taken a DNF there because factory's not paying for my bike, and I ain't paying to rebuild that damn thing. So, good on those guys. I saw, Axel Hodges show back up like he did last year. He put in a damn solid finish in that morning race. So,
hey, he doesn't ride a lot of mud, so that was impressive. I saw Caleb Russell went out there and threw down a crazy fast lap time in the industry class and then had to hand off his bike to another KTM member. But I thought it was pretty neat seeing them out there battling and mad respect when it's still raining and they choose to go out there and still go after it.
You got the whole shot too. He took Axel left the door open for him. He got the whole shot.
Yeah, I saw that.
Another previous podcast guest, he got the bump up to XC1 this weekend. Craig DeLong. Riding the, I think he was on a 350, you know, Rockstar Energy Husky. He got himself a podium finish, first time out.
Yeah, first XC1 race and up on the podium, and I think it's, two Rockstar Huskies up there was cool to see. So I'm sure that team was happy and just happy to see him have some success. What a great kid.
Well, Craig seemed surprised at the end of the race because he's like, I was just riding my own pace, and I know it wasn't really that. I was just trying to get through that thing. So maybe it was Craig that said he pushed it through. I remember one of the guys saying, you know, I just ended up pushing that thing through the creek. There wasn't any sense in taking the chance. So it'd be awesome to see what he does in the XC1 class next year. Seems like Thad's all healed up. If he can stay healthy in the off season, be interesting to see what he does. Obviously, you got the returning champion, Ben Kelly, coming back. Stu won more races than anybody else, so obviously, you know, he's going to be a contender. It'll be pretty cool to see what happens. So, but we're not going to stay on racing the entire time. We are going to talk, surprise, surprise, we're going to talk about motorcycles. That's what this is about. But more specifically, we're going to talk about some of our riding events that we've held recently, give you a little bit more detail on those, a little bit of a breakdown. And then also let you guys know what's coming up for 2022 riding event-wise. So before we do that, though, we do need to thank some people. So let me pull the list up here in front of me. If you're unfamiliar with what these levels are, we may or may not play a commercial later. But if you're interested, you know, what comes along at these different levels, head over to 2WRpodcast.com. Check it out. It'll give you a breakdown of the different levels we have, what comes along with it. At the contributor level, we have Luke Harding. We have Dylan. We have Alexander Marsh. We've got Bean and Leaf LLC and Green Traveling Machine. At the production crew level, thank you to Amanda Knapp from She Shall Ride, Morgan Graves, Travis Herman, Marshall 3498, Joe Stelmack, Daniel Shepard, and Mike Clayton. At the executive producer level, we have Jordan Roberts, Jeff Minocchio, Joe Minocchio, Alan Bound, Paul Benton, Jeff Nolan, Brian Flickinger, Neil Pence. I forgot how long this list is. Travis Miller, Nicholas Brouse, Jeff Hokinson, John Dimmick, Jeff Shingler, and Todd Armsworth. So thank you to all you guys for continuing to help support this podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Speaking of podcast support, we are going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to you about some riding events. So be back in just a few moments. When Brian and I need something for our bikes, we head to JT Motorsports in Frederick, Maryland.
It's not just parts we buy, we also buy motorcycles. Recently, I picked up a 2020 KTM 1290 Super Adventure R.
Yeah, I wonder where you got that idea. But it is true, we don't just buy motorcycle parts, we also do buy motorcycles from JTs, and that's why I picked up a 2020 Husqvarna FE350. That's right, I bought something that's not a KTM, but it is made off the same assembly line. JT's recently moved into a brand new, huge facility, conveniently located just minutes off of I-270 and I-70. Their massive showroom floor holds brand new models from Polaris, Can-Am, Kawasaki, Suzuki, Husqvarna, KTM, and now specialized e-bikes. If you haven't tried an e-bike, you have to. Those things are so much fun to ride. And for the wee little riders, check out their line of Stasic kids bikes, which are the perfect way to get youngsters involved in riding. Their showroom floor also features a huge selection of riding gear, accessories, and other essentials to keep your machines running good and looking good. They carry some of the top brands in riding gear, including Arai and Climb. Need parts for your bike? They keep a ton of parts in stock and ship daily. Heck, you even have the option to call, email, or text your parts orders in. If you don't like working on your own bike, that's okay, because they have a full service department that will work on any make or model. Just mention the Two Wheeled Rider podcast when you call, email, text, or stop in the shop, and you'll immediately get a 10% discount on parts and accessories. Visit jtmotorsports.net or call 301-846-4318. And if you didn't write that down, don't worry. You can find it in the podcast show notes or YouTube video description along with their address. All right, let's get back to the show. All right, thank you once again to JT Motorsports for continuing to support the podcast. So we did touch on this a little bit recently on the podcast we did with Corey Schaefer. By the way, I saw Corey out at the last SXCS round, but he was far away, and then I kind of walked the paddock area after Noah's race, and I couldn't find him. So we've been exchanging some messages, but that podcast did really well download wise. It seems like you guys enjoyed it. It was something a little bit different. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. It was podcast number 38. So anyway, thank you again, Corey, for being on. But we did touch on this a little bit, Brian. We had the I'm not a part of it, and but you know, I was there. The annual charity ride. I say annual charity ride. We missed 2020 due to, you know, the whole pandemic thing, but R&T Club. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, first, you're a big part of it. I think one, that's where we met, and two, always appreciate the shout out for the event and through the social media and the videos. But yeah, the event was you know, record setting for us, with just shy of 300 riders. And what's more important is the amount of money that we were able to raise for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. And the final number ended up being higher than the original thought, and it was $16,500 for just 2 days of riding. So it's really a testament to all those that come out and support the event. But what it is basically we just open up our private dirt bike trails. The R&T Club comes out and helps out tremendously, laying out the loop, cleaning it up, and making sure everything's tip-top shape, from mowing the places the grass are tall, and then coming out in force. I think there was 40 club members that came out and helped out for the weekend. And then it's just basically open it up, and everyone gets to camp and ride and have fun, cook good food, and ride when they want, stop when they want. And to me, that's the most fun aspect of the sport, is watching people just enjoy riding and no pressure, just all about the fun.
Yeah, and there's also, you know, they host some games and stuff, riding games in the evening. So, you know, those are cool to watch, all sorts of things, whether it's slow rides or the beer keg roll and those sorts
and
of things.
What a turnout. And you got some great footage with the drone, but it was so neat seeing, like, everyone lined up, and, you know, the kids doing it, the adults, everyone was having a blast. And we had some close racing there with the slow race and the barrel racing. But it's definitely something, whether you're rider or not rider, you're going to enjoy the evening games.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, it's typically held fall time frame, you know, September. Inevitably, you'll get some people going, don't schedule it on a GNCC week. Don't schedule it on an ECEA week. It doesn't matter what weekend you schedule. There's going to be somebody racing somewhere. And, you know, this isn't, not to say if you're a racer, don't come out, but it's for everybody. It's, there is no race. It's just come out and have fun.
I hate, you know, this is a fine balance because I got some great friends that race and chase all the races. And in a perfect world, I'd love to schedule it around everything, but September's a busy time frame. And we've always done it in that second week after Labor Day. And that's what we're sticking with. And it's one of those things. I get it from a business standpoint, if you accommodate and try to find that perfect balance, but we're all just about that every rider. And, you know, being honest, most of the people that come out aren't diehard, want to go to the racing, and I'm great with that. Like, I love watching someone coming out for the first time, or maybe they didn't feel comfortable to go to the race, and they came to our event to just ride around and have a good time, and you're never going to please everyone, and that's kind of what we're sticking with.
No, for sure. So, you know, something else we did this year, and this is the fourth year, fifth time. We had the Wild and Wonderful Weekend event. It's a predominantly street ride, 3 days. Occasionally, I like to throw in some dirt and gravel in there, but it's very short-lived. It's normally for us to get to some sort of attraction, whatever that may be. And it's something I kicked off in 2018. We did one in spring of 2018. We did one in fall of 2018. We did one in 2019. Those of you that came along on the 2020 ride, got a little bit different commemorative t-shirt because we made it the pandemic edition t-shirt when I was just like, F it, we're doing this thing anyway. And, you know, had a great turnout that year, had a great turnout this year. And it's a 3-day ride throughout West Virginia. We've had, you name the bike, it's come along on it. But, I mean, we've had adventure bikes and sport bikes and sport touring bikes and standard. I mean, a little bit of everything, all sorts of riding levels. We do roughly 200, 250 miles a day. It's nothing crazy. And it's just on fun West Virginia state routes and back roads. Occasionally we dip into Virginia or maybe even Maryland, sometimes depending on what the route looks like. But usually first day, every time so far, we've ridden down to Lewisburg, West Virginia. It's fun getting down there. And then second day, sometimes we end up in Weston, Buchanan area. Sometimes we end up in Elkins. It just depends on what route I feel like putting together. And, you know, we had another fun one this year. It's the it's annual. I don't know next year if it's going to be spring or fall time frame. I've done them in both. We've had great weather for them. We've had crappy weather for them. We've had some where one of the days will be great and one of them won't be, but it's always a lot of fun. And, I mean, we'd like to talk back to the fall 2018 where, you know, it snowed on us a little bit. So that was in what, like early October, I think.
My, very first time taking my wife on an overnight trip, and she was pregnant, and I convinced her on this awesome trip, and we rode through snow, and guess what? She still comes back to the event. So I think that, speaks to how well run it is.
Yeah, well, that's the other cool thing. I mean, we've had female riders come on the event. We've had female passengers come on the event. We've had plenty of people bring their spouses, significant others, that sort of thing. My sister's been a part of it for the last probably couple three years, something like that. She comes along on her Multistrada. It's a really fun day. And, you know, we're going to be doing that again next year. But something new we added, and this is what we were kind of talking about the video earlier today. We spent, I don't know, quite a bit of time laying out something a little bit different for this year. Not the Wild and Wonderful event, but, you know, something else we wanted to put together because, I don't know, it's just gotten to the point, like, a bunch of us have adventure bikes now. So Brian finally got one last year. Pete has a pseudo adventure bike. you know, Tyler's got an adventure bike. Rusty's got one. Everybody's got varying levels of off-road experience. And we just started going out, you know, riding them a little bit more off-road here and there. And, you know, we wanted to, obviously earlier this year, me, Brian, and Pete and Jordan – went out and rode the MABDR, and we know there's a lot of good exploring and places to ride out in, whether it's West Virginia or Western Maryland or parts of PA and that sort of thing. So I don't know. We just got in our minds that, hey, we want to lay out our own ADV route. So when did we start doing that? Like early summer, late spring?
No, it was late summer, I think. I think it was 4th of July or right around there we decided to kind of do this. And we're like, this is kind of last minute, but we'll figure it out. And I know you had some trips planned in. I had some stuff, other stuff, and we kind of divided and conquered at least laying out the route.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, you know, you and I just took off one day and like, let's see what we can find. And within like 10 minutes, we're going through creek crossings. Like, all right, well, maybe this is going to be real easy to lay out. It wasn't quite that easy to lay out. And, you know, where we're riding, it's, you know, you can pull up a whatever, GPS, Google Maps, whatever, and try to start laying stuff out. And it's kind of trial and error, and you have to go ride it, you know. Where we're riding at, I mean, a lot of these places are, you know, take you an hour, hour and a half to get there, and then you got to ride once you get there and kind of explore. And then we put our GPS tracks on and, you know, tracking devices and stuff so we can kind of come back and look at what we rode and, you know, X out the parts that we didn't like and try to add in some parts we do like. You guys went out, you know, one weekend, and then I went out for a weekend, and then Tyler and I went out for a weekend. It was just kind of whenever we had free time, we were out riding, trying to build this thing out. So,
that was the fun part. But I think sometimes, you know, it's tougher than what it sounds like. You're like, oh, what a rough job. You guys are out there riding. Yeah, great. The riding was fun, and it was so cool exploring. I don't get me wrong, but I think it's also, it's tough when you're trying to plan the 2-day event or a multiple day event, because you got to get to a certain point at a certain time. You got to take into account different riding skills, and you want everyone to have fun. And it's like, okay, we also got to gas stops. We got to have a cool lunch stop, a couple sightseeing and breaks. And it's not as straightforward as it seems. I'm not complaining at all, because that was 90% of the fun is you know, and the pre-riding aspect of it is laying it out. And then the full part of the fun is getting to ride with everyone and watching their facial expressions. When you go through a section that we laid out and you're like, this is going to be fun, I hope they enjoy it. And then when you get through it and like everyone's smiling, like, okay, mission accomplished.
Yeah. And you know, you're talking about laying it out. Like Rusty was over here one night. I don't know. We're putting tires on his bike or something. And he was like, I don't know. He was like, the amount of effort that goes into planning a route. And he goes, I don't even know how you guys are laying out an ADV route. He said, just laying out a street route is difficult depending on who you're riding with. And he was like, I knew I was going to be riding with a guy that's a little bit slower because he's on like a Can-Am Spider or something. And there's another guy that doesn't ride real quick. And he was like, it's not just how many miles or, hey, we want to get to, you know, we're going to stop at noon for lunch. It's how do you route it out so you arrive to the lunch spot at noon? You know, what are your fueling stops in between? You know, when we're doing it, we don't know who's going to sign up. Now, obviously, the executive producer level podcast supporters get right of first refusal, and we've ridden with quite a few of them now, but I haven't ridden with all of them, and we don't know what bike they're going to show up on. I mean, we do know what bike they're going to show up on after they sign up, but, you know, it's figuring out worst-case scenario, like, what's the longest in between fuel stops, and make sure that person's got the right range, and also make sure we remind them, hey, you know, you've got a short distance on this tank, you need to fill up here, that sort of thing, because we don't want anybody getting stuck out there.
Yeah, and it's making sure everyone's kind of gets their fill of riding. There's some people that ride from sunup to sundown and eat their trail mix out of their pack, and then there's other people that ride a little long and then, like, stop at a restaurant when heat. So you're finding that balance too, and making sure that no matter what their riding level, rider skill, or how long they like to ride, at the end of the day when they lay their head down, they're like, I got my fill of riding in.
Well, and so we'll get into that in a minute. And something else you and I talked about that we wanted to do in doing this is we kind of wanted to send some business to local businesses. Like, we didn't want to end up at chain restaurants.
Not Applebee's.
Yeah, exactly. Not there's anything wrong with going to a chain restaurant. Like, when I'm on a big cross-country trip, I try to eat at local places, but there's nights where you're just tired and you're like, you know what? Outback is consistent. It's across the street.
Well, or whatever you could walk to at the end of the day, riding your bike for 10, 12 hours.
But for this, we picked out, listen, we didn't take these guys to, we did for dinner on that Saturday night, but we weren't necessarily going to the fanciest place. We were going to places with good food that you were going to get filled up and, it was going to be good stuff. But we also did this one a little bit different. We'll get into this in a little bit. We did this as a nearly all-inclusive event. The only thing that wasn't included, obviously you got to get yourself here, but you need your own bike, you're paying for your own fuel, and then you had to pick up the tab for your dinner on that Saturday night. But that Friday night, dinner was covered. Saturday morning, breakfast was covered. Saturday at lunch, lunch was covered. Sunday for breakfast, that was covered. And then Sunday for lunch. And then we got back here, around 1:30, something like that. And then, group can kind of split up at that point. Some guys were, loading their bikes back up and traveling back home. Some of them stayed in the area for another night. So a little bit of everything there. But we wanted to take the guesswork out of it. Like, what's it going to cost? It's going to cost this plus whatever you eat on Saturday night. And, you're not burning a ton of fuel because we're only riding, it's probably around 130, 140 miles a day, somewhere in that range. I mean, it's going to vary a little bit. But, and then the other cool part was we were able to put, the closed course in. So, Brian, touch on that a little bit.
We want to separate ourselves just from, obviously, you can always go to public roads. So we kind of laid out a custom course that I felt like was safe, but yet also kind of push people that haven't had that opportunity. I think one thing about adventure bikes is it's not like dirt bikes. You can't go pay your $40 and go ride a specific course that's laid out for single track or motocross, where that's what we tried to do. We tried to lay out something that was safe, but also push some of the limits of the riders and in a safe, controlled environment. So that was awesome to watch everyone kind of get in the dirt or the grass for kind of the first time in a nice, slow, controlled environment.
Yeah, and I think the grass thing, and everybody had varying tires on their bike. Like I was running almost full knobbies. We had guys that were on like 80-20 tires. You had 50-50 tires. You had a little bit of everything. And for those that haven't ridden on grass before, especially on one of those big bikes, it's slippery. But that also prepared them because we kind of started the trip out a little, earlier in the day, a little bit milder off-road before we got into some stuff that was a little bit more difficult later in the day. So you learned how to control that bike in low traction situations. And if you dumped it, no big deal. I mean, you fell over into some pretty soft ground, into the grass. You weren't falling over into rocks or trees or anything like that. Speaking of low traction situations, it wasn't long after we left the closed course that we were in a low traction situation because we were in the middle of a creek. And again, varying levels of skill, varying levels of tires, and just varying levels of experience. Some people went across that first creek crossing like it was nothing. Others spun and struggled a little bit. But the cool part was, we've got an entire group of guys there. So anybody struggles, that's fine. You're still getting out of that creek. You're not getting stuck there.
Yeah, and I hope that's what people get when they come on the event. It's not a what we all get laughs when someone falls or not, but let's be fair. Yeah. We've all been there, yep. And we are still probably going to go there again. So it's not something to be ashamed of because I spent my fair share of time on the ground, and that's how I've learned.
Yeah, I mean, listen, one of these events, inevitably, somebody's going to get me on film, taking a bath in a creek. It didn't happen on this one, but it's going to happen on one of them. You're going to hit something slippery you weren't expecting, and you're going to dump it. But while we all laugh at you, if you do, it's not in a mean way. We're laughing. The first one, and I think Colin was the only one to dump it in a creek. There were quite a few people dumping bikes out at the closed course. Not at speed. Most of them just ran out of leg when they went to put their foot down to stop. But you know, he jumped right back up and, you know, he's giving two big thumbs up. Like, all right, now I feel like I'm a true adventure rider. Like, I've dumped this thing once off road. So it's everybody's kind of cheering. I mean, if you go back and watch any of the videos, guys are cheering as they get across. Guys are cheering if they don't get across. And if they don't get across, I mean, I think Ron Boyer came swinging in on a vine or something to help Colin up, you know, and help you get him up when he was struggling there in the creek. And there were some good saves, and there, you know, and then there were sometimes the bikes didn't get saved, but fortunately everybody completed the trip in one piece.
And, yep. That's what's most important.
Yeah. And everybody can ride at their own pace. Like we were switching up throughout the day. I'd lead the group for a while. Brian would lead the group for a while, depending on the types of terrain we were riding on and then what the riding conditions were. Like, you know, on Sunday it rained quite a bit, so it got slick out there. Group gets stretched apart a little bit more. But I don't think, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, except for that one time where, you know, a few guys missed the turn early in the day on day one, we probably weren't waiting more than, what, 30 seconds at the next?
We couldn't have planned a better group. Like I said, I think we laid it out good with the, you know, the breaks and the certain time. But I was, and this is not discrediting what I was expecting, but at the same time, like, everyone was great riders. You know, we had a varying degree of experience, and I thought everyone did a great job. And the coolest thing was just seeing people progress throughout the 2 days.
Well, somebody commented on my video and they're like, how many of them didn't, you know, was there anybody in the group that didn't have any off-road experience or limited? And I was like, yeah, about half of them had, you know, zero to, you know, what, maybe 10 miles down a dirt road sort of deal. Like they'd ventured off a little bit. And then we had some guys that have been on, like we had Craig Grissom on the ride. Craig's done the New Mexican BDR. We've had some guys that have done the Mid-Atlantic BDR. We've had, I want to say somebody, maybe not the Northeastern one, but, you know, some of the other ones that have gone and ridden some off-road. We got some guys that, you know, had ridden dirt bikes off-road. We got some guys that had ridden dirt bikes off-road 30 years ago. So maybe that doesn't count so much, but it was all varying degrees of skill level. And it ultimately, everybody did extremely well.
And that's what I hope everyone gets out of it too, is, you know, the event truly caters for everyone. You know, I've ridden dirt bikes my whole life, so I like more technical stuff, but I had a blast on the event. And I think someone that just started had a lot of fun, and then someone kind of in between had a great time. So just because your skill set or your amount of ride time caters to one, you know, aspect, whether it's street or dirt, I think either or, you're going to have a blast and have a great time learning.
And, you know, the what was it, on Friday night, I told the guys, listen, some of you guys have been on rides with me before, and we've gone out and knocked out 250 miles in a day, and, you know, we roll into town, and we're ready to kind of hit the town, go out, get some cold ones, and get something to eat. I was like, you guys look at the mileage for tomorrow, you're going to look at it and think, 130 miles, man, that's nothing. I was like, I can promise you, you're all going to arrive in Cumberland tired. And we pulled into the hotel. I think it was Jeff Minocchio. It was like, dude, you're right. I'm exhausted. I had a blast today, but I'm exhausted. Like, how long are we waiting to go get something to eat? Because, you know, I'm about ready to go to bed. And we kind of talked about that, too. Like, we went out to dinner. We had a great time. And I think I was back in the room for about 5 minutes before I was out. And I didn't wake back up until the alarm went off the next morning.
Yeah, that's slept good that night for sure, and I think everyone else did. I think it was a true testament to the event when everyone was, I think, out by 9 o'clock.
So, next year, so what we want to talk about, you know, some of the events for this year, and then, you know, what's going on for next year. So, next year, Wild and Wonderful Weekend will be back again for the fifth year. I don't know exactly what the route's going to look like, but it'll be pretty similar. I mean, we'll go out and ride for about 3 days. And 2 nights, and we'll probably, we've done it Sunday to, or not Sunday to Monday, we've done it Saturday to Monday, we've done it Friday to Sunday, it'll probably be Friday to Sunday again, and it'll be in the spring or the fall, I haven't decided yet. But the ADV event, the plan is to have two of them next year, one in the spring and one in the fall. Now, this year, for a multitude of reasons, one, because the ADV event, like Brian said, we didn't really start planning it out until the beginning of July. And then I was gone for 2 weeks out on a motorcycle trip. So that cut into some of the planning time. Then we had the Wild Wonderful Weekend event. Then I was in Austin for the MotoGP race. Like, I was doing motorcycle stuff all the time, but, you know, it cuts into the time that we get that planned out. So it wasn't a big, it wasn't a long announcement for folks to get signed up. We basically announced it. Week later was sign up. 2.5, 3 weeks after that, we're going on the ride. So the game plan is for two of those next year. All riding events for next year will be announced first quarter of 2022. I'd love to have them out January, February. Part of what it's going to depend on, obviously, well, Brian has children. I have a child. We probably want to take a look at some of the race schedules. I don't know what, Brian, I don't know what your plans are. If you guys are going to run an entire series next year, we're probably going to kind of pick and choose. So I want to look at some of those rounds once they're announced to make sure, okay, you know, we want to go to Rocket Raceway this weekend, or we want to go run, you know, that race in Burlington, or whatever it is. Like, we're going to look at it. Also, I kind of need to, summer's usually not too bad. I can pick out when I want to go on my big motorcycle trip. If it's in the summer, who knows? I might end up in Europe or something in the springtime. I don't know. But I want to be able to kind of pick those blocks and things. So we'll say Q1, and they'll go out on the schedule. And what will be a little bit different is in the past, of course, in the past, we've only announced one riding event at a time. This year, we've talked about three. We'll talk about a fourth one here in a moment. They're all going to be announced at the same time. So those of you at the executive producer level, you guys all have right of first refusal. So there'll be an announcement. You guys will probably get a pre-announcement, to be honest with you. And then there'll be a sign-up date. And once that sign-up date opens up, people can sign up for any of the events they want to sign up for. And then once they're sold out, they're sold out. Those of you at the executive producer level, if you want to sign up for all the events, sign up for all the events. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, the ADV event's probably going to be very, very, very similar to what we just did this year. There might be a couple of little tweaks here and there, but it's going to be pretty much the same sort of route. But, you know, that's one of those things. I told Brian, I'd go ride that again next weekend. Like, that's just a fun thing to ride. So the fourth event, and again, this is, Brian, what do you think? Spring or fall time frame? Maybe.
Yep.
So the fourth event is going to be another ADV event. We don't have all of the details worked out on routes at the moment, but won't be that difficult for us to handle. We don't have a name for it. What do you want to call it? The camp and ride?
Yeah, I think the camp and ride. And I think we tried to collect some feedback. Let's be fair. Our AD event, I felt like, was a good price point for those that are used to staying in hotels. But might have been a little pricey for those that are used to, you know, throwing everything on their bike and not needing that. So the camp and ride is going to be a cheaper price point, but we're still going to have some really good food for everyone, because to me that's an important aspect of a ride. But more of an out and back, and then you come and camp out. And I think for us, the more exciting aspect is more hanging out time and watching people build the relationships and being able to chat with the people we're riding with around the bonfire, cooking together, hanging out together. So I think it's a little bit different, a little bit than everyone going back to their hotel room, but I think it'll be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, we have to work out the specifics, and obviously got to work out the date. It'll probably be something where, I don't want to speak for Brian because we're still working out the details on this. You can probably arrive sometime Friday afternoon and get set up. We'll take off Saturday morning, go out on a, 120-mile ADV loop, something like that. We'll feed you breakfast, probably feed you dinner on Friday night, feed you breakfast. We'll grab lunch out somewhere while we're out riding. We'll come back. We'll do some sort of cookout there on Saturday night, get up Sunday morning. Same sort of deal, you know, get our bellies full, go out and ride a 120-mile loop of ADV, and then come back, eat something Sunday night, and we'll probably kick you out of there, you know, either Sunday night or maybe Monday morning, something like that, and everybody can head back. And you'll have the option. We've got we've got plenty of room for everybody. You got a camper or an RV you want to stay in. If you're like Marty that came on this latest trip and you just want to sleep in your minivan, like that's cool. You want to throw up a tent, that's fine. Or if you don't like any of those options, what is it, Brian? Like 15 minutes to get into town and there's a hotel there and you can go stay at a hotel if you want.
Yeah, we're just trying to cater to everyone and make sure that we hit everyone's kind of price point and level and they can still get out there and have a great time.
Yeah, and the other thing is you still have the closed course that you'll be able to run. We'll have something laid off there. I mean, hell, if your trailer and your bike's in, you want to throw the dirt bike, you know, on the trailer too. You got room for that. You want to hammer out some laps on your 250 or 350 or whatever when you get back on a Saturday, or maybe you arrive a little early on Friday. That's an option too. So it's going to add, a little bit different element to things. I will not be sleeping in a tent. I'm bringing my camper out. So if it's hot out, I'll have my air conditioner and my flat screen. If it's cold out, I'll turn my heat on. I'm sure Brian will be parked in his mobile home that he pulls behind his truck. So, but if you got one of those, you know, and the other thing, I mean, we don't have full hookups out there or anything. We do have water available, so you can fill up tanks, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it'd be something a little bit different, but a lot of fun. Because I know when we got out there for that Saturday, guys were just having a blast. Because
I don't think they wanted to leave, and that's when we were like, obviously we talked about this even beforehand, but it's like, see, I think this proves the point. Like, we should just hang out here and go ride and then come back and hang out with everyone.
Yeah, guys kind of came back. It also gave them the opportunity because, you know, a lot of them hadn't ridden those bikes off-road before, so they're still running their tire pressures at manufacturer recommended, and they're like, my bike's sliding all over the place. And they're like, you don't need 42 PSI in the rear. You know, get some of that out of there. And it gave them the opportunity to test it out in a safe environment to come back and go, yeah, that feels pretty good, or, you know, I want to take a little bit more tire pressure out, or I want to add a little bit in, or whatever, you know, make some clicker changes there on the forks or shock or whatever they wanted to do to kind of get that thing dialed in a little bit better for the rest of the afternoon that we were going to be out riding. So
absolutely. And I hope that's what people are realizing. I know we got a comment kind of on our consistency of the podcast, and it's a honest and fair question. But Mario and I spend every week, a few nights a week, just discussing ideas of how we can give back, how we can make it cooler. So we love the podcast. We love getting information out to everyone. But when we do miss a week or we miss a couple episodes, it's because we're planning something for our listeners and really giving back. And I think that's where our passion is. And these events are at our heart of everything. It's getting to hang out with the people, not just, oh, they listen to us, but it's so cool when they say, hey, I listened to this episode, and you're looking at them in the eye and talking through the story.
Yeah, and listen, I told you this the other day because that video I put out, I probably got between 12 and 16 hours of editing time in. And I want every video I put out to do well, but I was like, if that thing only gets 100 views, but the guys that came along on the trip all comment on it or shoot me a message to say they enjoyed watching it, then my job's done. And I think almost without exception, all of them, because I took footage from everyone's camera almost. I mean, almost all guys were running cameras. Like, how many cameras, 12 cameras, something like that. And just so you got, the video is 16 minutes, essentially. I mean, it's got the intro and outro. If you take those out, it's like 16 minutes. When I overlaid all of the clips, it was over 5 hours of continuous footage. If I were to take all the clips and take them out of, you know, time frame alignment, it was probably about 12 hours of footage edited down to 16 minutes. I mean, we could have made that thing a 45-minute video. It'd probably still be just about as entertaining, but try to get that all down. And we like to do that when Wild and Wonderful trip will come out at some point too. Obviously, I got all that footage. But, you know, we want you to come along. We want to hang out. We want to make sure everybody has a good time. But then, you know, I like being able to post that video later on so you can kind of go back and relive it. Also, it shows other people that might be interested but not really sure what to expect. You're going to find out exactly what it's like. It's not going to be as much fun watching the video as it is coming on the ride, but I'll try to make it as cool as possible to give you that taste of what it's like.
Yeah, and I hope people, you know, I know we got some great feedback on this, but I think it's pretty cool that, you know, about this event is you come out and everyone's running cameras and you're able to incorporate it into your video, and then it's something that people can go back and look on. So not only did they get to go live the event, but they also have something hopefully to show those close to them of what they went through and here's what I did that weekend.
I mean, listen, Brian was standing out in the middle of the creek taking pictures of everyone so they would have something to, you know, show family, friends, whatever, when they got back. Like, look at this cool, gnarly shit I got to do this weekend.
Well, see, no one appreciates the person that was willing to bunk up with me that night, knowing that my boots were not waterproof doing that. So our room, like, I walked in there and it just kept hitting me. I'm like, oh my God, this is awful. But hey, we got some cool pictures.
Yeah, I thought you were standing. So I didn't wear my waterproof boots because I'm like, I'm just going to wear my. Now they have Tech 7s out that are Dri-Star, which I got to look into a pair of those. But I'm like, I'm not going out standing out in the middle of the creek. I thought you had on your waterproof. You got the CD Adventure boots, and you're like, no, I just wore my dirt bike boots. They're not. I'm not walking out there. You pick those guys up.
Yeah, there's some cool pictures.
I'm standing over here with my video camera. I'm good.
Yeah.
So a couple of other things we want to go over. So you guys kind of know what to expect for next year. You have the Wild Wonderful Weekend event. I don't know exactly what, if you guys ever do the math on those, like I when I say I'm covering cost, I'm covering your cost. Like that's it. Like
you're paying to because, go on it.
Yeah, I'm paying to go on the trip. Like I'm paying my own hotel bill, I'm paying my fuel bill, I'm paying my meal bill, like all that stuff. If you want to look at it, I lose money on that trip, but I'm having fun. So, you know, it's something I'm going to continue to do. So we're definitely going to do one of those. I don't know exactly what the price point's going to be, but it's going to be right around what it has been, probably around that $75 mark. It all depends because it depends on how much the T-shirts cost me, those sorts of things. I adjust appropriately. And then I found out, like, PayPal, they take some serious percentage out of those fees now, so or you know in fees out of those payments now. So I'll adjust that accordingly. But it's going to be right around the same thing it's always been. The ADV things we've partnered up with one of the hotel chains, so I think we're going to have some pretty good rates locked in there. So we ought to be able to keep those prices right around what they were for this year. We'll probably have a kind of a cool announcement for those of you at the executive producer level, where in the past we have not done a discount for riding events because I couldn't discount any further on the Wild and Wonderful, which is all we had when we first stood this up because it already loses money. But the other ones, I think we're going to be able to do a discount for you guys. So we'll announce that when we've got that data ready to share. We'll do the two ADV events. We'll do the camp and ride event. Listen, depending on, you know, the popularity of it and schedules, I'm not ruling out throwing in another event at some point. But if we throw in five, I mean, there's 10% of weekends. And when you look at, you know, actual ride availability weekends, that's probably taking up closer to 15-20% of them throughout the year for the area we're in. So we got those. The other thing, and these are, I'm going to call them non-official riding events. So Brian put a post up, wasn't this past weekend, was it the weekend before?
Yep.
If you're following us on social media, see, nobody wanted to go ride with Brian the weekend before. We all had stuff to do.
I went by myself, so yeah. Looking for friends is basically why we're talking about this.
Yeah, no, I was out at the racetrack that weekend. I don't remember. I don't remember what the other guys were doing, but you might only get a day's notice. Maybe you get a couple of days notice. So I will try to do my best to post them on the YouTube channel because that's where we've got the largest audience on there. So I'll put it on the, I think they call it community tab when I'm aware of, you know, if Brian's doing something solo, he decides the night before, it may not make it up on there. Our Instagram accounts are always linked down in the show notes, so follow those if you're not following them. But we will occasionally, and probably, you know, definitely through the winter, especially when we get those weekends where we're like, hey man, Sunday the high is 55 or it's 50 or 45, like whatever it is, like let's go ride. Now obviously you got to be local to us. Or, I mean, I don't care. I mean, if you're 12 hours away and you can make it in that 12 hours, like, great. But, you know, we'll probably go out and do some, they'll either be afternoon rides or day rides or whatever they're going to be. And we'll just throw it out there, like, hey, anybody that wants to go along, meet us at 10 a.m. at Sheets at this address or whatever, some parking lot, and let's go ride. You and I have done some stuff like that in the past. We didn't advertise it, but, you know, people have DM'd us or whatever, and if we're available, you know, we'll go meet up. We're going to do that sort of thing. Don't expect, like, big groups at these things. I mean, it might be one or two other guys that show up. Sometimes it might just be Brian. Sometimes it might just be me. Sometimes it might be four or five of us, like maybe Pete or Rusty or Tyler or somebody's coming along, and you want to come out and ride and explore. We've had some people message us about, hey, I live in the Frederick area, and I'd like to, you know, I got an adventure bike, and, you know, I kind of want to know where I can go ride this thing. I can't find any roads. I know we talked to the Minocchio brothers when they were up. They're a little bit further away, but, you know, they're still there in Maryland. You know, it might be an hour or two ride to get to the start or whatever, but we just went out on, it was Sunday.
Yep.
Went out and did, what, like 170 miles?
Yep.
Good bit of it off-road. I mean, we found a really fun section. It wasn't a real long section, but a really fun technical section we were able to ride. And plenty of dirt and gravel and, you know, really just some neat scenic areas too. So even the paved stuff we were riding was pretty fun. So we're going to throw some of that out there. It's going to be really throughout the year. There's no charge to come along. There's no nothing. Just show up. But, you know, I'll do my best to put it up on my YouTube page. Brian, you have access to do posts on YouTube or no?
No. Hey, maybe y'all can help me out and get me to that 1,000 subscriber mark. No, I'm not that cool yet.
What are you sitting at, like high 700s?
Yeah, 700s. But, yeah, I think a community tab, I think once you hit 1,000 and then you're able to get that opportunity, which is nice because you can connect to your subscribers.
Is it 1,000 or 10,000?
Well, yeah, maybe I got a lot longer to go.
Yeah, if it's 10,000, I'll try to throw him a bone and throw it over on mine.
Yeah.
But, you know, on Instagram, also, I mean, we do have the Facebook group for podcast supporters, so we may throw it up on there. And I'll try to throw it up on the Two Wheeled Rider Facebook page too. I'll try to blanket it out there, but just keep in mind, lots of times it might be like the day before. It's definitely not going to be multiple weeks out. Best case scenario, you know, it might be 3 or 4 days before. But the last thing we want to do is throw something out there, and then we have something that pops up in our schedule that, crap, now I can't go ride on Sunday or I can't go ride on Saturday. So it's probably in most cases going to be about 24 hours notice. So just keep a lookout. That's all we're saying.
Yeah, I think we're just giving that shout out because of that, like, 4 pounds of chili I had left over after last week and inviting my friends, and they didn't show up.
Well, Pete ate a lot of it. He did the best he could. So
if it was pie, it would all been gone.
And just so you guys know, it's not always going to be ADV stuff. There's going to be days where you just go out on street rides and maybe, you know, maybe there's some event or something we're riding to, some motorcycle event that we're going to go check out, or maybe there's some restaurant we want to go check out. And we'll try to give you some details, but we'll post, you know, hey, we're going riding on such date, such time. Just shoot us a message or put a comment and go if you need some more info on it. So anything else you want to cover?
No, I think we covered a lot of it. I mean, hopefully everyone's getting the common theme. It is, you know, we'll have a lot of podcasts coming up. We got a lot of great guests lined up. Some weeks may be a little sporadic than others, but it's more so we're just focusing on, you know, other areas to give back. And we look forward to riding with everyone. I think that's always going to be our number one priority, is giving back to the riding community and then figuring out how we can ride with those that listen to the podcast, because that's truly where our passion is. While we love sitting here and talking about bikes, we love riding bikes even more. And being able to ride with all of you is definitely the coolest aspect of it. So I think that's where we're going to be focused in 2022, is riding events. And it's still great podcasts coming along, but that's what we're looking forward to.
And speaking of giving away, I'm looking over here. I got some Fly Racing, like, I guess I call them adventure gloves. We're going to be giving some of those away here pretty soon. I think
that's a good point to touch on. So for us, you know, let's be honest, we have a small podcast, you know, platform. Mario's helped build a lot of that foundation through his YouTube. But where we're headed and what we're looking for is partnering with those sponsorships that have equal passion into what we do it in writing. So when we have these giveaways or when we partner with someone, it's because we believe in the product and we also want to give back to the listeners. So I think that's always our priority when we're talking with sponsors. It's like, what can our listeners get? It's not what Mario and I can get. It's, you know, what can we give away or what can we give back or what kind of giveaway could we do? And that's what we did with the ADV event when we talked with sponsors. It had nothing to do with Mario and I. It was, what can we get in these goodie bags for our first event?
I didn't even get any of the goodies we put in the goodie bags. We gave them all to the guys that came along. And that was my expectation, is that they get everything. The gloves, I'll probably hold on to a pair because now they're used, but we're going to give them away a few different ways, but I'll just say I've got additional pairs that we're going to be giving away. Obviously, we're going to be giving some to the podcast supporters. I might do a giveaway on the YouTube channel. You know, that's what we're looking for. Also, the offers I get on a weekly basis, a lot of it's garbage. And I just go back and I'm not interested. I don't want, one, if I don't have any belief in the product, I don't even want to waste my time testing it, looking at it, whatever. Like, it's got to have some merit. And honestly, you know, you guys see what I wear, you know, when it comes to riding gear. It's not always the most expensive stuff, but it's quality stuff. Like, I'm not going to try out, you know, some brand because they want to just send me a free set of riding gear. No, it's got to be quality stuff. Same thing for, you know, anything we're going to give away to the listeners. Now, occasionally I might end up with some sort of dud product because you think it's going to be good and it's not. But for the most part, you know, we only want to partner up with, you know, quality companies. I mean, Fly Racing is one of those that if you're more of a street rider, you may not be quite as aware of them, but you know, they've been around the off-road community for quite a while and they're starting to come out with some more, street-oriented stuff and also ADV-oriented apparel and gear and those sorts of things. So I've seen a few other products that have come out. I got some friends that have a few of them. It's some quality stuff. And it's also, in some cases, a little bit lower price point than maybe some of the other brands of gear and apparel that I'm typically riding in, but that doesn't make it any less protective. So speaking of guests, you know, Brian kind of touched on that. We touched on, you know, we're going to get Whit Mays on. I was just exchanging some private messages with another guest that we're going to have on maybe as soon as next week. I am going to be on work travel for 2 weeks, basically two full weeks, which is going to make it difficult, but we do have some time next week. We can get some more podcasts recorded. I feel like I got to send Becca a text. I mean, she retired effectively after winning that championship. I want to get her back on because she got to race against Axel Hodges again. And, you know, she wrapped up the championship. I just want to get her back on and kind of find out, you know, what that season was like and what that pressure cooker was like going into that last round where she still had to put up a good result to wrap up that title. So,
oh, absolutely.
Actually, like, talk to Craig again, too. I mean, that dude, first time out, finishing on the podium at XC1, that's impressive. So, a lot of good racing this past weekend because I got to watch the MotoGP race, which was amazing. And, by the way, just full disclosure, because I don't know if Brian recorded anything, I'll just put it, I trailered my 990 over to Brian's house before we went riding that day, mainly just so I could watch the MotoGP race on the way over because I didn't want to miss it, and I'm glad I didn't. But then we got to watch some of that GNCC race later in the day. There's a lot of good racing last weekend. So, listen, we appreciate you guys kind of sticking around with us. The guests are lined up. The riding season, unfortunately, is starting to wind down a little bit. Even if we do get a nice day during the week, what time you get done work? Like 5, 5:30, 6?
Yeah, like, on a good day, yeah.
Yeah, sun's down at like 6:15. Like we don't get the time in the evenings to ride. So be in the podcast studio a little bit more often. We'll probably be putting out tons of content this winter, at least if we get some podcasts recorded next week, because I'll be on work travel for two straight weeks. I'll be holed up in the hotel room in the evening so I can sit down and edit those podcasts so we can get those things posted a little bit quicker. So, all right, one last opportunity. Anything else?
No, just a thank you for everyone sticking behind us. Like Mario said, we got a lot of content coming on the podcast for this winter, and then kicking off in the spring, we're going to announce a bunch of events, and we'll go into a event mode in the spring, and obviously still have some podcasts and great guests coming next year as well.
Yeah, and I promise I'm going to get that cross country series edited one of these days. What did I say? Thanksgiving? Ooh. I don't even know if the second video, the 2WR ADV event, is going to be out by Thanksgiving. I got to start laying that timeline out. If it's out by Monday, it's because I didn't sleep between now and then.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the only way that thing's coming out by Monday. So, all right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Two Wheeled Rider Podcast. Thank you once again to JT Motorsports and all of our podcast supporters for continuing to support the podcast. If you've got any questions for me and Brian, you've got a couple of ways to contact us. I mentioned earlier, you know, we've got our Instagram handles down in the show notes. We also have 2WRpodcast@gmail.com. You can send us any sort of questions you have over there. You can head over to the Facebook group, which is linked below. Also, you can now listen to the podcast on Facebook. That's new as of, when did I do that? Last week?
Last week.
I got an email from Facebook. Like, you want to host it on here? Yeah, we'll put it anywhere we can get it. So you can listen to it on Facebook. I don't know if it works on the desktop version, but I do know it works on, if you get the Facebook app on your phone. I haven't tried the desktop. So check that out. And once again, thank you guys so much for listening. I am your host, Mario Orsini, joined by
Brian Boyer.
We'll talk to you guys again soon.